Thanks to everyone for attending. I have changed my title of the talk and I removed biochemical component from my talk in order to be able to finish in 10 minutes. So, brief outline, I'll be talking briefly about the introduction on Diaphoneus citri and Greening disease, then I'll move on to different results of the different studies, effect of temperature and the toxicity of insecticides against Asian citrus psyllid, then effect of sublingual concentration of imidacloprid and ACP adults, then effect of imidacloprid and feeding activity of ACP. This is the Asian citrus psyllid adult and these are the nymphs. This is a pest which is exotic to the US, which was first discovered in Florida in 1998. And by now it has spread throughout the state and moved to adjacent states as well. This is most important pest because it is a vector for a bacterium responsible for causing a deadly citrus disease. I said deadly because diseased plants produce few fruits in the off season which remain green in color, losing the marketability. And plants die eventually because there is no cure so far for this disease. This disease was first discovered in 2005 in Florida, and by 2008 you can see most of the citrus growing areas in Florida has been covered. With the discovery of Greening disease in Florida, the use of insecticides increases tremendously, requiring 6 to 8 sprays per year. Since environmental conditions such as temperature play a significant role in the toxicity of insecticides against pest, information on toxicity, temperature toxicity relationships will be helpful to choose a better compound for ACP control. In this study, we have selected 11 insecticides belonging to different classes with different modes of action and tested them at 3 different temperatures, 17, 27, and 37 degrees centigrade using a leaf dip bioassay. Mortality counts were taken at 48 hours and the data were analyzed using log probit analysis to calculate the LC50 values. Coming to the results, here the y-axis is LC50 value in ppm and x-axis is the temperature in degree C. Two organophosphate compounds, chlorpyrifos and dimethyate, one carbamate compound, carbaryl, and ivermectin compound, ivermectin, showed increased toxicity with increase in temperature from 17 to 37 degrees centigrade. This increase was like nearly tenfold for chlorpyrifos, 6-fold for dimethyate and 4-fold for carbaryl and the highest 18-fold for abamectin. Coming to synthetic pyrethroids, in contrast to what you have seen with those four compounds, synthetic pyrethroids have shown decreased toxicity with increase in temperature from 17 to 37 degrees centigrade with the exception of bifenthrin. Here bifenthrin has shown increased toxicity from 27 to 37 degrees centigrade. However, the overall increase in the toxicity was 1-fold from 17 to 37 for bifenthrin and the decrease was almost like 5-fold for cypermethrin and 38-fold for fenproprothrin and 68-fold for lambda cyhalothrin. Coming to neonicotinoids, they have shown mixed response. In case here, acetamiprid has shown increased toxicity with increase in temperature from 17 to 37 degrees centigrade, while other two compounds, imidacloprid and thimethoxam, have shown mixed response in the sense there is a decrease in the toxicity from 17 to 37, then increase in the toxicity from 27 to 37. However, the overall toxicity was increased from 17 to 37, which was 7-fold for acetamiprid, 1-fold for imidacloprid, and 3-fold for thimethoxam. In summary, two organophosphate compounds and carbaryl, abamectin, and acetamiprid have shown higher toxicity at higher temperature. Other three synthetic pyrethroids, fenproprothrin, lambda cyhalothrin, and cypermethrin have shown decreased toxicity at higher temperatures, while the remaining three compounds, bifenthrin, imidacloprid, and thimethoxam, have shown higher toxicity at both the lowest and higher temperature tested. In Florida, imidacloprid, a systemic insecticide, is applied to the root zone of citrus trees in order to protect them from ACP infestation for a longer period of time. However, due to variations in the spatial and temporal patterns of uptake and systemic distribution within a tree, these populations, ACP populations, are exposed to sublethal concentration of imidacloprid. So we wanted to see whether are there any effects of sublethal concentration on reproduction and longevity of ACP adults. For this, we have used a plant systemic bioassay in which 2 to 3 months old plants were soaked in 0.1 ppm imidacloprid solution, which was determined in preliminary studies, or tap water for 48 hours. Then these plants were repotted, and 5 pairs of newly emerged adults were released on each plant to see to observe the reproduction and longevity effects. Here, these plants were categorized into 3 categories. One is control, in which these plants were daily watered with 30 ml of tap water. In long-term exposure, these plants were daily watered with 30 ml of 0.1 ppm imidacloprid solution throughout the experiment. In short-term exposure, these plants were treated for 5 days only, initial 5 days with 0.1 ppm solution. Then after, they moved to untreated plants and watered daily with tap water. Coming to the results, when you see effect on adult longevity, this is the adult survival in cumulative with the age. You can see in the long-term exposure treatment, adults began dying 78 days earlier than that seen in control. And the same trend continued throughout the experiment until all the insects died. When we see the mean adult lifespan, you can see almost 8 days decrease in the lifespan of adults in long-term exposure treatment compared to the control, which is significant, while short-term exposure did not give any significant decrease in the longevity or lifespan. Coming to the effect on fecundity, here the y-axis is number of eggs laid per female in 5 days cumulative and with age. Here also you can see a significant decrease in the fecundity of adults in long-term exposure treatment, whereas in short-term exposure treatment, a slight decrease was observed initially, which was later recovered compared to the control. When you see the mean number of eggs laid per day per female, in long-term exposure, you can see 33% decrease in the fecundity of adults compared to control, while a 5% decrease observed in short-term exposure was not significantly different from control. When you see the fertility, here in long-term exposure treatment, a small but significant decrease in the fertility or egg hatching was observed compared to control, and the slightest decrease observed in short-term exposure was not significant from control. Previous reports have shown that imidacloprid at sublethal concentration shows antifidant effect against many plant sap-sucking hemipteran insect pests. So we wanted to see whether the same phenomenon holds true with the essential tetracycline. So we tested using a leaf systemic bioassay, in which these leaves were soaked in different concentration of imidacloprid ranging from 0.001 to 100 ppm or in tap water for control for 24 hours. Then adults were allowed to feed on these leaves for 24 hours in a petri plate, in which the lids were lined with a filter paper so that the honeydew droplets can be collected on these filter papers. Then these filter papers were subjected to an anhydrin test, which changes the honeydew droplets into purple color so that we can count. Here, the y-axis is honeydew droplets percent control, and the x-axis is the concentration. You can see a dose-dependent decrease in the honeydew droplets excreted by the adults. With the exception of 0.001 ppm, all the treatments were significantly different from control. And however, at higher concentration, you can see the decrease in the honeydew droplets mainly because of the mortality occurring. While at lower concentration than 0.1 ppm or lower, you can see almost 90% survival, more than 90% survival, but a decrease in the honeydew droplets. That means that's mainly because of the antifidant effect of imidacloprid. In summary, long-term feeding on sublethal concentration of imidacloprid negatively affected the reproductive potential and longevity of adults. This could affect their fitness, and which eventually leads to population changes or population decrease over time. Imidacloprid also caused feeding deterrence in adults at concentrations 0.1 ppm and lower. This has a significant role in disease prevention, because Asian citrocyline requires a minimum continuous feeding of 30 minutes for acquisition of the pathogen and a minimum continuous feeding of 5 to 7 hours for the transmission of the pathogen. When we can interfere this process, there is a chance that its vectoring capacity can be reduced. However, this hypothesis needs to be tested. Coming to the acknowledgements, I would like to thank Department of Agriculture, Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services and Florida Citrus Production Research Advisory Council for funding, and my lab colleagues for their assistance during conducting this research. That's it. Any questions?